If you have your Bibles, be in John chapter 4. I kind of like the old youth minister that has the ADD, you know. I kind of jump around and move around, so I'll do those things. And as we go through there, please forgive me if I go too fast, but something gets a hold of my heart sometimes and I just take off. Chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5 of John is fascinating. We all know John 3:16. I mean, if you don't know it by now, you've watched a few sporting events, you should be getting it. John 3:16. We should be getting that one. We should be delivering that one. But what fascinates me is what's around it and how God just speaks. And as you look in chapter 3, you see Nicodemus. And you see he's coming at night and he's asking Jesus about who Jesus is and what is he talking about and how is he delivering these things. And you see a transformation starting to take place in Nicodemus's life. He was a teacher, a scholar, a rabbi. He had reached the pinnacle of what they would consider, and the Jews would consider, as one being up there. He was established, and yet he came at night wanting to see who Jesus was, and Jesus gave him those answers. And we'll talk about those in just a second. And then in chapter 4, you see a lady at the well. A lady that we probably wouldn't look well upon. No pun intended, you know, just that we wouldn't look at as if the ladies would see her in the community. You know that the ladies would not think highly of this woman. And yet Jesus takes time to go meet her at the well, right where she is at. So you see Nicodemus, you see a lady at the well, and you see things starting to maneuver into place, and you see what the Lord is working on. And I'm sort of taking you through there pretty quickly, but we'll bounce around back in there in just a second. But I want you to understand that you see Jesus' word coming real. I think so many times in our life, we speak things that are right. We speak things through the Word of God, but yet we don't speak with Jesus becoming real. And so today, as we walk into this and open this up, I want you to understand is how do we deliver Jesus? And we can say the right things, have the right programs, do the right things, and they're all wonderful, but how do we deliver Jesus to the people around us? Jesus himself shows us that, doesn't he? He becomes real to them. He steps out of this personification of a title or I'm higher than you, or I'm up here, come to me. He goes directly to us. You know, I think about all. I grew up in church. I've been blessed to have a wonderful family who raised me in church, and like a lot of you. And I can remember some of my first. I wanted to learn how to witness. You hear about it growing up. You hear about it. And so I was a preteen, and I wanted to learn how do I do that. And so I went to some programs, showed up to some events at church, and went to listen to some people about how to share the gospel. Well, I could do the 5 steps on the fingers, and I can do all the acronyms. And I went to Evangelism Explosion, which really dates me and shows you how old that I am. And some of you wrote it, so, you know, you're older than me. But not just kidding. But so how does the word out of our mouths show Jesus Christ? So in John chapter 4, verse 39, let's step out here and look at this. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And they said to the woman, "Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Wow. You know, as I was growing up and as I was walking into manhood and traveling into learning and failing a lot, you know, and doing what we all do and trying to succeed and try to, I wanted to tell people about Jesus Christ. Well, I got into sales and I got into working on my words and I got this fear developing as I'd go out and knock on doors and I got this, I was pretty slick. I didn't want to be slick. I wanted to see people come to Jesus, not come to something I was selling. And I can remember I was selling vacuum cleaners in the evenings, and you know, you're just trying to figure out how to make a bill, you know. And so I would go out and sell these vacuum cleaners and their little R2-D2 units, and it was a silver dome, not the plastic one with the rainbow thing going on, but the other one that competed against it, you know. And so we would go out, and I got really good at it. I'd go show two of them a week, and I'd sell one for two. So they'd ask me, how are you doing these things? Well, then on the weekends, I'd knock on somebody's door or I'd share Christ with somebody, and Satan would creep into my life, and I get to thinking that, hey, wait a second, I'm too slick. What you see in this passage right here is you see Jesus Christ. And that's what I want you to think about as you're talking to other people. I want you to think about how, Lord, would you be the one speaking to these folks in front of me? Lives change because of that right there, not because of Scotty speaking to somebody. When we become real about who Jesus Christ is in our life, lives are changed. All right, so you see, the Samaritan woman came and it said many were saved because of her words. They were seeing Jesus Christ through her. And there were still those who doubted. They knew who the woman was. They knew her actions. They knew where she had been. And they were going, yeah, whatever, woman. Trucked out there to see Jesus. And when they saw Jesus, they heard him. That's a capital H in my Bible and a capital H in my life, is because my desire when I speak, when I talk with someone, I want them to hear Jesus, not me. If you listen to me very long, you'll figure out that I slur my words, I babble, I speak too fast. You know, I may drool a little. There's things in my life that you go, okay, I know you, Scotty. I know what you do. I know the mistakes you've made in your life. That's not who I want you to see. I want you to see the fact is that Jesus Christ saved me. That he changed my life. When that becomes real in your life, we are able to go out and share Jesus' word. Amen. Not just something that we're babbling on. I'm always amazed. I've been privileged to take many trips to the Philippines and Nicaragua and New Mexico, around our area, around our United States. And I'm amazed at how Jesus works in some of the simplest ways. When I first was feeling the call into the ministry, I was 19 years old, and I thought, well, I'll finish up college at Rogers State, and then I'm sure he'll take me off into seminary someplace, or he'll take me to a four-year, and that's not where God took me. He kept me here. And I would work here and work there, and I used to argue and think, with the Lord, you know, how would you be calling me into the ministry? I don't even say half those words. And a few years ago, I had the privilege of taking Brother Lester in a Greek class, and he explained to me that the Greek was the unspoken language, which really kind of confused me, because, and then when I tried to say Greek, I'd mess it all up. But how do you really know that I was messing it all up? Because it's unspoken language, right? That was free. The picture is that I can mess things up pretty bad. But my desire is that Jesus Christ comes through me. Even when I'm failing. You know what I mean? Even when I'm making a mistake. And I run a construction crew and I put on some new guys this spring. And I've got guys that have no idea, you know, what this end of a hammer, what it's used for. You know, I will be working on oak trim like you have around your beautiful auditorium here, and they'll bring me a framing hammer. You know, I'm thinking, put the framing hammer back in the truck. Do not get it out at all. We're on oak trim. You know, bring the little dainty hammer. We're gonna set some screws, set some nails. I mean, you know, this, the knowledge of this. And so you're teaching what true things are about my business. Right here, when you see the Word, you see it opening up, and you start to understand is that who Jesus Christ is in our life shows the Word. You know, here's a little thing. When you go into speaking to someone, it's, Lord, would you please speak through me? Does that make sense? I take people on mission trips all the time, and I've had the privilege of that, and I've alluded to that. But also, I've taken people out to learn how to witness, and how do we go out, and how do we share Christ? And we get really worried about that, don't we? I mean, public speaking is one of the number one fears in the world, right? So you put going out and talking to a stranger pretty close to that. I mean, just like meeting people. We do it in church because that's what we're supposed to do. But what about outside? What about the convenience store? What about at the restaurant? How do we do that? And I had a friend of mine teach me. He said, we were eating lunch down in, we had traveled someplace, and we sat down in a restaurant, and the waitress came up and said, you know, how can I help you? And a pastor friend of mine said, I think I just went blank here. Is this one here on? So, you figured out a way to keep me to the pulpit, didn't you? Well, so as we were sitting at the restaurant, he taught me something right here. The waitress came up and got our drinks and stuff, and he said, we're getting ready to pray for our meal in just a few moments. What is something that we could pray for you about? That was pretty simple. That was really, really good. Open the door. Open the door. And the white person just opened up to us. And sometimes it's like, I don't know. Sometimes it's, well, Dad's really sick. You know, sometimes it's, well, I have a friend that I've been witnessing to. You'll be surprised at what you, I have no idea what you're talking about. You want to pray for me? Why? And so as you think about my words and the words that I would say, they're powerful things, aren't they? I mean, all through the Bible, you see where God talks about how that we need to control our tongue, how we need to deliver what we say, think about those the process of those things. So you see right here in chapter 4, you see it, many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. You see, it became life. It became the breath of God was breathing in through her, you know, and she uses the, because he knows everything about me. And, you know, some of the women probably were standing around going, well, if he knows everything about you, you know, but, you know, in their hearts, they were going, wow, if he knows everything about you, he knows everything about me. So you see that, the desire there. And then let's talk about the next thing is worship. Now, the woman at the well, in verse 21, he goes into this. He says, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Okay, you can just go, wow. Something just took place there. As you look at the Old Testament, they would travel to a place. They would go to an item. They would go to a thing to be able to worship. And Jesus is saying, I'm here. And paraphrasing, I'm opening the door for you to worship wherever you are at. That's powerful. Jesus is saying, you know what? You may know the Old Testament, and you may want to travel to a synagogue, because she alludes to that, doesn't she? She alludes to the mountain that they're on and the well where it came from, the history of it. She's telling her forefathers the knowledge that she has of those things. And he's saying, I'm taking care of it. You can worship right where you're at. So as you look at your words, and as you look at the things you're going to say and you want to say, and then all of a sudden life is changing right here in the New Testament telling you that you can worship. You don't have to come here to worship, do you? What's the purpose of the altar up here? Is to come to worship. It's come before the Lord. Now, we get scared of this up here, but I'm going to tell you, open it up. Get to it. We need to. I had the privilege of doing an interim work at a church, and the pastor had passed away. I didn't know any of their history. I didn't really know anybody there. And we started just going in and preaching the word, right? And asking for the Lord to speak and to worship, to truly worship. And, you know, the altar in front of a church is a scary place. Well, you know, here's some thoughts. Well, if I go up there, while the pastor is preaching on this subject, people are going to think that I have this problem. So why would I want to go up there at this time? Because people are going to think, oh my goodness. He preached on sin in this area, and I'm going up because I'm dealing with this other part of my life. I'm going to tell you, right? Folks, join in with me right here. Anybody comes to the front, we don't think that. We praise the Lord with them, and we pray for them, right? And if you're thinking that, then you need to come down here to the altar and get some things right. Because you're too proud, and we need to figure out, how do we worship? How do we take the word that God has given us, and when we deliver the word out into the world, that they see Jesus Christ? Because so many times in my life, they don't see Jesus Christ, they see Scotty. And I'll just mess it up. So my prayer is, Lord, when you take my words, when you take my worship, that the world sees you. Even in the middle of my mess ups. You know, when you see how he's telling her, he's like, you know, we're going to worship, we're going to open those doors, and we're going to let those things out. Something else that catches me, if you go over on chapter 3, but I don't think I gave it to you in the passages, but John chapter 3, verse 11. It says, most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. Jesus is speaking here. It's in red letters, and he's saying that we speak what we've seen and what we know. Now, Nicodemus is asking these questions, and he's going, what about this? What about that? And he's like, brother, I'm telling you, listen. You know, it's amazing to me how commercials have gotten so good that we don't even know the show we watched, but we can tell you what commercials we've seen, right? I meant State Farm, we quote it all the time, right? What's he wearing? Khakis. All right, some of y'all have never seen that one? You're looking at me like, okay, some of you don't watch TV? At 3 in the morning? Okay, but what I'm getting to here is that when we look and when we think is, you know, Jesus is saying right here, we speak what we know. And I think sometimes, well, I don't think I know, that sometimes what I'm speaking is because of what I've been dwelling on. And it's not necessarily bad things, but not necessarily, we should be showing who Jesus is in our life everywhere we're at. You know, when he's talking about Super Bowl commercials, we talk about the beer commercials, right? Those are the ones that stick in our minds. It's because of what we know. What do we know? You know, when Nicodemus crawled in to see Jesus and he had all these questions, you know, when Jesus was out and speaking, he prompted something in Nicodemus, the desire to want to know more. Now, he came at night. And you later on in chapter 3, you see that the whole need is that what happens in the dark? Sin happens in the dark. We need to bring it to the light. I had the privilege of preaching at a church that has like a stage type of auditorium with the lighting and all that kind of stuff. And so they use the dim lights and the power lights that come on and blind you. But they use all those kind of things. Well, I asked the music minister, I said, I want to do something really weird. And I was preaching on this topic of a light in the end of chapter 3. And I said, I want to offer an invitation in the middle of the service. And this music minister was like, the middle? Well, we don't do it in the middle. We do it at the end. That's where the invitation is. And I said, well, I want to do it in the middle, but I will do it at the end too. You want to do it at the middle? Well, and it just really floored him because that wasn't his plans. He didn't have that in his 1, 2, 3. And here I was jumping to 7 before we were doing 2 and 3. And I said, but I want to give up, and I want to give the passages in chapter 3 at the very, about midway through, where it talks about bringing things to the light. And so I told the guys up there, I said, okay, right after the music, right after the special, right after I read his verses, power all the lights on, as bright as can be. Offer an invitation, and let's have everybody come to the altar that want to come. Altar was packed full. Because of what Jesus Christ was doing in the place. People were bringing things to the light instead of hiding in the darkness. You know, I think we should welcome anybody that comes up here. We should never leave them alone. We should join them. If you see a woman or a man come to the front, or a child or a youth or a teenager, you see someone you don't even know come to the front, we should join them. We should get in there, and we don't know what they're dealing with in their life. Maybe they're having tragedy in their life. Maybe a job is changing. Maybe there's things in the forecast that they're seeing that they're really struggling with. And maybe it's what the sermon was doing. Maybe God's dealing with them with the songs. Or we don't know where they're at. But just come up here and say, you know what, brother, I'm praying for you right now. Lord, would you please intervene in this gentleman's life? Would you please come to this lady's life? Would you heal them? Would you lay your hands upon them? You see, to understand what worship is about. That's joining in worship. Letting it become real. You know, we've gotten in our churches where we're really good about being fake. And not just today. Don't let it fool you. My grandma told me stories about the 50s. There are people fake then too. But the world doesn't need to see fake. They need to see real people who make real mistakes come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, would you please forgive me of these sins in my life? And would you become real to the person sitting next to me? We need to get off of being fake, get off of playing church, and ask the Lord to speak right where we're at. Whether it's out in a pasture haying, whether it's at a fishing hole, whether it's at school, whether it's at work, whether it's something that we're dealing with and we're in a place that we're not supposed to be. Lord, here I am. How would you deal with me? And first, you can just jot this down and we won't go there. 1 Corinthians 15:58 states, be steadfast, be immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. Be steadfast, hold the course. And I'm telling you right now, in the way the world is moving, it is really, really hard to be steadfast, isn't it? Because the winds are thick. The winds are prevalent. I remember just as a kid, the things that we as Christians stood up and fought against now are legal in law. And now they're making them family fun centers. They're trying to hide things and make it where it's, oh, it's what we do. It's okay. It's not wrong. But yet the Word of God says it's wrong. We need to hold true to those things. We need to ask the Lord to speak. And as you see, be steadfast, be immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. Brings me into that. And looking across your audience and just, you know, I know that this is the workers. And maybe there's a few here that are visiting, a few here that are just kind of on the outskirts, but I just want to say thank you for working. You know, coming to your church way back when I was a kid, as a teenager, coming to play volleyball, and those people that showed up out there, the parents that showed up, the grandparents that showed up, you invested in my life not even knowing who I was. But just seeing people that loved the kids, loved the students, loved those around. VBS is on its way. Kids Camp's on its way. Falls Creek, all the different things that we do. Green Country, you know, all the things we do. Going and showing the word, the worship, the work. You know, Nehemiah, and the pastor alluded to Nehemiah earlier in the children's message, is that, you know, Nehemiah, he says the people had a mind to work. As in chapter 4, verse 6. And he says they had a mind to work. And Nehemiah is trying to explain. I can't explain how the wall's being built and how we're getting around here so fast. But the people had a mind to work. I don't know about you, but sometimes my mind doesn't want to work. I have to push it, shove it, kick it. Because there's other things I want to do. But in today's world, now more than ever before, we need to work. And here's the deal. Is Jesus will take you right where you're at, right? We all know this. He'll let you worship right where you're at. He'll let you speak His word right where you're at. And guess what? He'll let you work right where you are at. We are so scared that He might call us to Africa if we were to say we were going to commit this summer to missions and commit this summer to seeing people come to Christ. Well, if we commit there, He'll be sending us to Africa. If your heart's not in Africa, you won't be going to Africa. He might change your heart towards that, then it won't matter, right? You see, God uses the people right where you're at. The lady went to the well in the middle of the day. She went to the well in the middle of the day because she was not able to go with the other women, because she was one that was not right. She had been with different men. Jesus called her out on it. And then what happened in her life? Her eyes, the muck came off of her eyes, came off of her heart, and all of a sudden she starts seeing Jesus Christ for who He is. And her life is changed. Can you imagine her coming back to the community in the middle of the day? You've got to see something. You've got to see something. You've got to hear this. The man out there at the well, he is Jesus, who we've been learning about, who we've been waiting to come, who the elders have been teaching us about. He's here. He knows about me. Don't you see the tears flowing from her eyes? He knows my heart. He knows where I've been. He knows your heart. Is your mind set to the work? Like a lot of you, most of you in this room, boy, life is tough, isn't it? I mean, we work all the time and we're still not caught up. We go. We struggle. We fight. We try to figure out life. We try to catch up with life. You know, and so here's the deal. The world around us is in the same battle. Trying to figure out how to pay their bills. Trying to figure out how to survive. But they need to see Jesus. They need to see Him so real right now in your life. Maybe it's a waitress here or a waiter here in just a few moments when we leave here to go eat and go to places. Maybe it's a grocery store. Maybe it's a gas station. They need to see Jesus. They don't need to see a fake Jesus that so many times we deliver. They need to see Him real. And maybe it's walking back into a clerk that you were mean to and say, you know what, the other day, I bit your head off. I want to apologize to you. First, because Jesus Christ forgave me. Now I'm seeking your forgiveness. Are you with me? Do you see that? You want to see pews filled? You want to see, I'm telling you right now, if we in these churches across our land, we get on fire for who Jesus Christ is in our life, and quit trying to be another church someplace else, and just be who God called us where we're at right now in our place, you'll see lives change right here in Tulalla, right here in Uthaga, in Nowata. And you'll see, you know, just lives change because you got on fire because of who Jesus Christ is in your life. When I was a youth minister, I loved going to the schools. And walking into the schools and go hunt for one of my students. And I remember the first time I started doing that, I went up to Wausau Schools and I had been invited by the students. And so I walked in there and I couldn't find the student that I was looking for. You know, and he had told me, he invited me to come. He said, man, there's youth ministers that come by up here. Would you like to come up and see us at lunch? Well, so I just started asking, hey, do you know so-and-so? I'm walking down the hall. Halls are filling up. I'm hunting for someone. Oh, so he's over here. Well, then I ran into a friend of his. And then he wanted to know who this man was at the school asking for this guy, right? So now he's getting kind of protective of his buddy. And he said, well, who are you? And I said, well, I'm Scotty. I'm his youth minister. His youth minister? What's that? I said, well, I'm kind of like a pastor to the youth. I'm a teacher to the youth. And he goes, he goes to church? Where would he go to church at? I said, well, it comes down here to Hilldale, right off of Keatonville Hill. He's been coming on Wednesday nights. So we'd love to have you. He goes to church on Wednesday nights and just told all. Poor kid didn't have a chance. But you know what's really cool about how Jesus works? Is he comes to right where we're at. And you know, and over the years of going out and witnessing and sharing Christ, you know, I'd get, you know, Pastor, we'll come to your church next week. There's some things we need to take care of. And you never see them. Right? Teacher or VBS director or VBS volunteer. And we'd love to have them here. We got some things we're going to take care of, and then we'll be there. In other words, if I can, you know, maybe get the beer cans cleaned up and maybe not drink as much, I might come to church. Or we might think that, well, you know, if I got this out of my life, then all the things that we think hold us back, right? Jesus says, wait a second, I'll come to right where you're at. I remember one time I had the privilege of leading this gentleman. And at the time, tats weren't the thing to have, but he had them. And one tough guy. I was nervous. I mean, this guy was tough. And I was sharing Christ with him, and I was trying to ask the Lord, you know, how to do this or how to talk about this. And I was telling him about how, you know, using the woman at the well and using how Jesus would come to you right where you're at. He can change your life right where you're at. And just the tears started coming, and he said, well, how do I do that? I want to have this Jesus in my life. And so I told him, I said, well, just invite him into your heart. And I said, in your own words, not my words. My words aren't patented. They don't have if you just don't say them right, then you're not saved. I said, say them in your own words, your own heart. Just give it all to Jesus. So we knelt down there, big guy. And I'm telling you, I was still nervous. And tears were flowing from his eyes. I could tell there was something different. And so he started praying. And I'm telling you, the words he used, you sure wouldn't want to be hurting from your mama and most men. And I'm thinking, is this right? Is this real? I mean, Lord, you're hearing his words. And tears are flowing. And he's inviting Jesus into his heart with every cuss word that I've, you know, and some I didn't even know. And I'm thinking, okay, I told him right where he's at, and he's there. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord got a hold of his heart and changed his life. You know, and us good Baptist kids that were raised that you don't say those words scared me to death, you know. But Jesus touched his life. Jesus came into his heart. And years later, I'd run into him in town, and you just see the difference in his, just a smile on his face, and just his life had changed because of who came into his heart. So when you think about your words, let it be who Jesus, how he speaks. And ask him. You know, before I get to preach or to speak someplace, I'm scared to death. I'm scared that you're going to hear Scotty instead of hearing Jesus. So I ask him every time, Lord, would you please speak here today? I don't want to be the one speaking here today because it'll mess folks up. But I need you to speak today. When I talk about worship, you know, there's times when tears or there's times when I'm flustered in life and I'm thinking, and all of a sudden he'll slap me in the head and say, are you worshiping? Well, not right now. I'm pretty upset with what's going on. Are you worshiping? Okay, I'm going to learn to worship, Lord. Because you told me I can worship right where I'm at. And right now I don't feel like worshiping. There are things in my life that are tough or rough or just, okay, Lord, I'm singing your praises. Can you say praise the Lord when you smash your finger with a hammer? That's some discipline now. Those junior high words want to come out. But can you say praise the Lord and not cussing him? All right, so you've heard about word, you've heard about worship, and you've heard about work. You know, when the walls were being, and Nehemiah is a powerful book, and I worked for a company building churches, and they used Nehemiah verses all over the place because of just how powerful the book is. Because God just really, he shows himself real to real people. You know, so many times we think, well, he's showing himself to these superficial people that don't live in a life that we have to live, and the boots that we have to wear. And you see, they're brick masons, and they're putting bricks on the wall, and then they got a sword, and they're being army guys. You know, they're having to, okay, you watch, and I'm going to lay three brick. And we're going to, you know, and then it had to be all these things that Nehemiah had to figure out, and how the Lord just showed us how to, he said the people had a mind to work. And I think so many times my life is not, my mind is not a mind to work. Now my family will tell you that go work, yes. I'll be a workaholic or close to it. But what he's talking about here is the mind, the work of the Lord. And so when you're sitting at the restaurant or when you're working with people side by side, it's, Lord, how would you deliver yourself through me to them? How would they see you today? And we had some things in our life that were pretty. I had a couple of young men working for me that were in our church. And I'd been out of the pastorate for quite a while, and some things were really rough, really rough. And some things that had happened to our family. And so I got a phone call. And a young man sitting right next to me. And the phone call wasn't a good phone call. And the words came out of my mouth, which were coming right out of my heart, and they weren't Jesus' words. Broke the young man's heart. He's looking at me thinking, that guy was a pastor. He was a youth minister. He teaches all the time in church. And those words came out of his mouth. Well, I didn't even think about it. Because I was justified for what happened. It was a bad situation and a bad third of our life that we're having to deal with sheriffs and all the different things. And so I didn't think about it. Well, my daughter said, Dad, he mentioned those words you said in the car to me. He's just having all kinds of trouble with it. So I had to go to a young man in his teens and apologize for the words that came out of my mouth with the right kind of heart. And I'm thinking at first I was upset because I had the right to be upset at what was happening to our family in all contexts. But also because of who Jesus Christ was in my life at that time, how I respond is so important. You think, well, you're supposed to just smile and go on. No, it was a rough time in our family. A very rough time. And he knew that we were having a rough time. But I tell you what. Years later, he's come back and told me, he said, you know, you coming and apologizing to me for the words that you didn't have to apologize for. I knew what was happening. And I was just trying to understand because I never heard those words from you. So what I'm saying is that we make mistakes, don't we? People see those mistakes. And we need to go and say, you know what? I had this attitude. I said these things. And maybe men are notorious for this. They come here and sing all these wonderful songs and worship, and then we go off to work, and our mouths are not what our women see. We need to watch those things. And ask the Lord, when we speak, do we speak about who Jesus is in our life? When we speak the words, even when we're not quoting Scripture, can somebody see something that's different in you? So when you look at the Word, and you see John 3:16 come to life, and you understand, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it goes into verse 17, for God did not send His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The trends are not showing the world coming to church. They're not showing it. If you're watching the voting trends and you're watching Fox and you're watching other channels, you're seeing that the world is changing right fast as we can see. And it's not headed to church. When you start asking people about coming to church, they'll tell you about this person or that person or those people over there or those people over there that have done them wrong, supposedly, or something. Or they think they have, or they've seen them. Folks, we need to step up to the plate and go, you know what? We are sinners, just like everybody else in this world. Please forgive me of my sin. And let me tell you about who Jesus is in my life. Boy, not too long after I committed those sins in my life, whether it was language or whether it was thoughts, I had to go to before the Lord and say, Lord, would you please forgive me? He forgave me. And He can come into your life just like that. People need to see real Christians. Real Christianity. They want it. They need it. They desire something out there. They just can't understand it. They've all been churched to death. They need to see Christians step up to the plate and be who God's called them to be. Do we make mistakes? Absolutely. You can watch me in about 5-10 minutes and you figure out he made a mistake. But it's who Jesus Christ is that's in my life is the reason I can stand before you today and read these passages. Because of the fact that he forgave me. Don't be afraid of the altar. Every church that I get to travel to has things that are happening in their church's life. Yet we all stay sitting. We don't move. We want to talk about it. We want to come to fellowship and say, well, where's so-and-so, and where did that family go, or this family go? And I've been there. Instead of coming before the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. How would you use me to reach people? Because the Bible is very clear that we need to go. It's God's plan, God's desire, and the cool part is that he wants to use us in that go. I don't understand it, but he wants to use us. We're going to go into invitation. And I'm going to tell you right now, and knowing Brother Lester as long as I have, this altar is open. And I guarantee you he'll keep it open as long as it needs to be open. And probably through the week. They can come in here and come to the altar. It's probably not a problem. But I also can tell you that right where you're at, wherever you're at, Jesus is there. And you can go right before him right then. The thing I want you to think about is being obedient to his calling on your life.